Hi everybody, it's your host, Isaac Wiseop, with a bonus episode for all you supporters out there on the Patreon and now Rockfin. Is this weird now? Is it weird now? Did I make things weird by adding my bonus content over to Rockfin? Maybe. Maybe this feels like hey kids, this is my new girlfriend. She's gonna be hanging out with us a lot. But we're not ready to call her mom yet, right? We're kind of there. But that's all right. You know, and you already heard my whole spiel, so I won't go into it. But a couple questions that popped up. People on the Patreon support system asked, well, Isaac, do you want me to support them both? And, like, that's not my intention. I'm not trying to, like, double you guys up. So a couple of you just have, and I appreciate you guys, but, like, that was not my intention. I was merely finding an option that was for the people who didn't like the policies of Patreon. That was it. And in order to do so, I had to give Rockfin something to make them feel exclusive, right? Give them a little sugar. So that's why I've got that bonus show over there called Inside the Mind of a Conspiracy Theorist. But yeah, that wasn't my intention. I'm not trying to double you guys up. So now, now that we've got that out of the way, jeez. But no, I didn't like the vibes of that, and I didn't realize that until people started asking me in the comments on Patreon, like, about me trying to double up there, and that wasn't my intention. So no, I don't intend or desire. I mean, that's very kind of you for the folks that have done it. That's very nice of you. They're just two different systems. Rockfin, it depends on what you want, you know? Like, Patreon's better for a lot of things, and Rockfin's better for a lot of other things. You know, you get a lot more content over there on Rockfin. Apparently, they don't have an app for Android. I hit them up. I said, what the hell? You mean you don't have an app for Android? So we'll see what they say about that. Anyway, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about alien news. Talk about Ozzy Osbourne, Britney Spears, The Great Reset, Joe Rogan, and we'll wrap up with talk about a young lady who started her own podcast about the occult. Who's this young lady? Her name's Kesha. Maybe you remember her. She had the song, We're Gonna Die Young, that they pulled from the radio when it was the number one hit. Because of Sandy S. I'm sorry. I almost said the terms. S. Hook. I don't know. Can I say that? Who knows? You know what I'm talking about, though. And then she said, oh, they made me sing those lyrics. She was real upset about it. We'll talk about all that. Now, on the as far as bonus content goes, just a couple weeks ago, I gave you some bonus content talking about politics, right? Because everyone was right around the election, everyone wanted to talk politics, which is a futile effort, my friends. But I did a little bonus thing for the politics show. If you haven't heard that, check that out. I'm also continuing on Patreon the Dark Path Book Club. We're rolling through that. That seems to be well received. I also want to do a little housekeeping on corrections. I pride myself on trying to be very transparent and clear with you guys. So what did my dumb ass say? Well, some dumb things. On the show where I had Greg Carlwood on doing the intro, when I was trying to do a Carlwood-esque intro for him, I said that Joe Rogan started his podcast in 2012, but it turns out that was actually 2009. I don't know how I screwed that up, but that's what I said. I think the date on the video I saw from the first Joe Rogan podcast was from 2012, but that doesn't mean that's when the podcast actually started. My bad. Then also, I talked about Nick Cage channeling Francis Bacon, because that's what he said. He said he was channeling Francis Bacon in an interview with Marilyn Manson. Shout out to Jerryville on Instagram, who corrected me, because it turns out there's a Francis Bacon as a painter as well, like an artist. Oops, I didn't know that. And apparently he was referencing him. I don't know. How do we know which one he was referencing? It doesn't matter. Point being, he could have been referencing the artist. not the you know, fake William Shakespeare, Francis Bacon. And by the way, I put a poll on Instagram, on the Instagram stories, because someone on Twitter wanted, they said you should do a whole show in the Nick Cage voice, which would be terrible for you. Because the longer I stay in that barely Nick Cage voice, the worse it gets. As was evident by that show where I tried to do it. So I said, hey, you guys want an oops all Nick Cage show? 85%-ish said yes. Which poses a real problem for me. And you. I don't know. I don't know how to manage that. More to come on that. Probably won't do it. I was hoping that would be a resounding no to put it to bed. But, you know, you want to see me suffer and squirm? I'll suffer and squirm. I'm up on stage here like a bear on a tricycle here, or a unicycle. Then, what else was I wrong about? Way back on when I talked about the Q stuff, I was referencing a podcast called QAnon Anonymous. And apparently it's a parody account of some kind. I didn't know that. My bad. I thought it was the official, fan club of that sort of group. And I've been telling people, like, look, if you're into that stuff and you're pro that, like, cool. Like, I don't have to be, right? Diversity is great. Different opinions, different thoughts. You want those hardcore right-wingers? Like, there's plenty of those voices out there. I would argue that that's almost all the voices out there. You got your Alex Jones, who, by the way, he's, as we'll talk about today. Did I take notes on that one? When I said Joe Rogan, I don't know if I was referencing the Kanye West or the Alex Jones interview. Let me take a look. I was talking about the Kanye West interview. So no, we won't. Yeah, so anyway, he was on, Alex Jones was on Joe Rogan. Fantastic episode, by the way. As always. And, it was clear that doesn't believe in that whole movement. But yeah, if you want that, you know, there's plenty of voices for that. Mark Dice. But to me, like, I feel like they're just cheerleaders hopping on the wave. Because that's very much the predominant accepted theory amongst the truther community. And, like, people think, I don't know what they think. They think this is good for my business to talk bad about it? No, it's not. Absolutely not. I've done nothing but lose followers because of this viewpoint of me trying to say, hey, this is a psyop. Wake up. So, like, and turns out Alex Jones and I agree. So that's very confusing to me because I don't believe everything he says. But anyway, entertaining show. And then finally, Bob hit me up on the email. Clarifying a statement I made on Gaynon and Crowley, there was some discussion about this. We went back and forth, and the short version, for those of you that aren't occult nerds, basically, I implied that Gaynon, René Gaynon, the traditionalist guy, was sort of closer to Crowley than reality turns out he was. And I don't know these characters that deep to know whether or not that was true, but apparently Bob, who's very much into this stuff, asserts that I'll read you from what he wrote here. I'll just read to you. How's that? He says, I asked him, what are you talking about, blah blah blah. He said, you said Gaynon was hanging out with Crowley and said something about Crowley being Hitler's advisor. Gaynon was a traditionalist and he was an apologist of sorts for Hinduism, but he remained a Christian, or very close, and he wanted to merge Eastern and Western mysticism. He did say we are in the Kali Yuga. Sort of seems like it, though. Blah, blah, blah. He had no association with Crowley, and he wrote a whole book exposing Blavatsky and Theosophy in no uncertain terms, calling them a project of British intelligence, as they no doubt are, and as Crowley definitely was. Gaynon had no association with Crowley. He did write letters with Evola, who is a very sinister dude. Evola, however, loved Crowley. The issue was, I found some letters from Gaynon to Evola back in 1949, and it says, blah, blah, blah. So Gainon said, "To come back to Aleister Crowley, what you told me reminds me of the story that turned up in 1931. While he was in Portugal, he suddenly disappeared. They found his clothes on the border of the sea, something that made them believe he had drowned. But it was only a simulated death, since they were no longer concerned about him and did not try to find out where he had gone. Actually, he went to Berlin to play the role of secret advisor to Hitler, and who was then at his beginning. It is probably this that had given rise to certain tales about the Golden Dawn, but in reality, it was only about Crowley, blah, 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 blah." So, you know, missed signals there, right? I just wanted to clarify that for some of the more scholarly folks, you know? But that was kind of a little snafu there. And that's it. That's it. We're caught up. And a shout out to Tamers. She sent me a DVD of The Visitation. I watched this film. It has some cool little, early 2000s vibes. Eddie Furlong is in it. He plays this Manson type antichrist. Has a little bit of Pet Sematary action. The dude buries his dog and it comes back to life. And, he's happy. Then someone steals it. What a jerk. Anyway, what a good time. Thanks. That actually was part of my film marathon while I was on the couch part from my vasectomy. Yes, it's true. It's now permanent. Now it's literally going to take an act of God for me to have children. But, that's just another topic for another day, my friends. But yeah, that's, let's see. What else do I got for housekeeping here? That's it. Now, on November 16th, I retweeted, Jay Dyer posted a video clip of Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, and I retweeted it, and basically Trudeau is saying that we're moving towards 2030, the 2030 thing that the UN was talking about, that if you recall, just a few weeks ago, I had a guest on here named Johnny. And we briefly went over this UN idea.
Building back better means getting support to the most vulnerable while maintaining our momentum on reaching the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development and the SDGs. Canada is here to listen and to help. This pandemic has provided an opportunity for a reset. This is our chance to accelerate our pre-pandemic efforts to reimagine economic systems that actually address global challenges like extreme poverty, inequality, and climate change.
Yeah, so apparently the Great Reset is in fact happening. And this is where things get a little dicey, okay? Because when you read through that 2030 UN document, they all sound like noble causes, right? Getting rid of poverty and all this stuff. But like the issue, and this is the problem with socialism, right? Because on some level, like, we need a little bit of socialism. I always argue, and we talked about this on the politics show, but our country is, here in America, we thrive on this blend of capitalism and socialism. You need the socialists to keep the capitalists in check, because eventually the capitalists will cut their own heads off. You know what I'm saying? Do you get that? Because, like, the idea is that money is the incentivizes them at all costs. It's always the bottom line. So you find the cheapest labor you can, the cheapest quality products that you can to, as far as, like, quality is an issue in your product. But, like, you know, if you can make slave labor do this in another country for you and save money, you're going to do it because that's what it's all about, right? Higher profit margins. The problem is, if you are now hiring sweatshop labor to manufacture things, what about America, right? What about Americans that need jobs, that need just regular old middle-class factory jobs? They're gone now. And you squeeze that middle class out of existence, well, guess who's going to buy those products now? Because the Americans can't afford it, right? But to the capitalists, that 1%ers, they don't care. They'll sell the products to the people in the other countries. Like, they're still living large. They don't care. But you see how, like, this wrecks the middle class and ultimately is not good for the country. It turns into, like, this third world country. So you need the blend of the two, which is why the left and the right wing ultimately are sort of necessary evils to counterbalance each other. You can't have one ideology completely dominant over the other. At least that's just my opinion. But anyhow, the Great Reset is trying to address some of these issues. Is it bad? That's the question. Is this bad? Well, if you believe, and I do on some levels believe, that they're pushing us down the globalized one world order, one world government system, and the problem with the socialist agendas is that they always come, there's strings attached here. When the government gives you money or some form of, you know, shelter, assistance, which some people need, right? Some people need. There's people with disabilities and issues. There's a safety net we have here in this country we try to maintain as a civilized culture. The problem is, it's not a good thing, because now you are held to the powers of someone over you. There is, in fact, some arguments that if you receive Trump bucks or government checks or stimulus checks, you're going to need the vaccine. And that's just one great case in point. And I'm not arguing for or against the stabbies with that statement. You can make your own choice there. Anyhow, that's an alarming clip, unless it's deepfaked. It might be a deepfake. I don't know. I didn't take the time to dig into it. I got bigger fish to fry, because ultimately, like, these guys have a lot of control over this. I don't know what the answer is, besides trying to become independent. A free actor. Get your little cabin out in the woods and, like, old Unabomber, and cook your little beans over your little cast iron Dutch oven skillet. No, I don't know what the answer is. Don't look to me for that. That's a tough thing to figure out, right? Nexium, sexual Costco, the pyramid scheme. Keith Rainier sentenced to 120 years. Deuces, homie. My question was, is this dude connected into a deeper scene of sexual abuse and sexual impropriety? Because I feel like on some levels, and there's several documentaries about this, like The Vow. I haven't watched them yet, but I feel like there's a lot of connections that will now go away with the idea that the homeboy, like, he was the apex of the pyramid here, and now he's gone away, and now we're all done. But I feel like there's connections that need explored a little bit deeper with this abuse agenda. Human trafficking, real issue. But yeah, he's going to prison for for prison pocket party time, I guess. With that pretty hair, he's got that nice hair, which is, by the way, why I can't ever go to prison. That'd be a bad scene for me. I'd have a real problem in there, I feel like. I'm average height. I might be all right. Now, the Master P, he's got, you remember Master P, right? He was a rapper back in the 90s. I can't even remember what the No Limit Soldiers. Is that what it was? Man, I'm having a hard time figuring out what it's in there. I think they were called No Limit Soldiers. Yeah, that's right. They had the tank and stuff. Well, anyway, there was a rapper named Rico Crowder. I don't know who this guy is. I never got into No Limit. That wasn't my thing at all. He claimed that he witnessed this sort of occult ritual going down.
Flatliners in the mid-90s. He came out a few years before you, on Def Jam, and he said he seen, like, occult rituals and things like that take place over there. So, you know,
what they saying is true, and like I say, one day if you call me, I could tell you what I literally saw myself, and it was literally some cult, and it was a ritual, and I was invited to the party, but I told them, y'all tripping. I say, I fooled with a multimillionaire, and he from the street, we don't get down like this. So I immediately left, jumped in my Benz, and went home.
Yeah.
I don't blame you. Yeah. And it was, I don't know about Illuminati, but if there was an Illuminati, that was it. Yeah, I was there at the party, and they was ready to induct me into their little crew. And it was some high profile people that I like I said, I can't mention who it is now, but trust me, it was some weird, wild mess going on. And I'm like, bruh, I ain't know you get down like that. Yeah. Women.
Well, you hear that a lot. You know, not to cut you off, you know, MC Shan, he was gonna do the Fresh Prince of Bel Air. It was gonna be called something else, but he said the producer, Benny Medina, I believe, was you know, wanting to do some weird stuff, and he had to, you know, get out of there. A few other people have said some things similar too. It's weird how that goes on in there, you know.
Yeah, man. And trust me, it's another person that's very, very, very high profile that I heard. And this person, it came from a legitimate source. That it was a true ritual that they do. And I'm like, whoa, yeah. So a lot of that stuff y'all hear is kind of true. You know what I mean? You know?
Did that creep Master P out? Like, was he like, whoa, what the hell is this shit?
Nah, man, we were so thugged out. But I wish they would, man. No, we didn't get down like that. P was like very, very, you know, like, you know, he's a man. You know what I mean? And he's the alpha, complete alpha. He ain't with no... Nah, he's like, I got my own money. I don't need to get down like that. You know, if I can't get it the right way, I sure ain't getting it that way. That's one thing you ain't finna get P into doing. No.
So there you go. Just part of the growing theory that these musicians are, in fact, brought in to witness these occult rituals. And I don't know if it's a blackmail system. I don't know if it's on purpose. I'm waiting for my invite. Someday I'll get in there and take a look for myself. But apparently he didn't like it. Maybe there was like some, you know, homo things that he didn't like. I don't know. I don't want to speculate too hard. But that's the argument. That's what we've been saying, right? These artists say that these things happen. And maybe this guy's just clout chasing, trying to get his name out there. I've never heard of him before. Not to take anything away from him. I'm sure he's a great rapper, but No Limit was never my thing, so. Zach Bagans. His Ghost Adventure show is back on. New season. Got renewed for another season. A lot of people want their ghost hunting. I watch it. I actually enjoy the show. But if you recall, many, many moons ago, we covered how he bought the La Bianca house. The one where the Manson murders happened. Leno and Ro... Shit. Man, my brain's not working today. Rosemary and Leno... Oh, man. Don't make me look it up. Do I have to do this? La Biancas. Here we go. Let's look it up. What's their names? Leno and Rose... Man, I can't even... Rosemary and Leno. Yeah, I was right. Okay. Why does that sound weird to me? Anyway. So first, the Manson family murdered the Tate residence folks, the coffee lady and the hairdresser and Sharon Tate. Then the next night, or maybe it was two nights after, they went over to the La Bianca house, killed them, and Zach Bagans bought that house. And if you recall, right next door, Katy Perry bought this nunnery, like a nun convent, right? Remember that? Remember... Katy Perry wanted to buy this nun convent right next to the La Bianca house. The nuns were like, nah, bitch, she's a witch. We're not selling to her. Because I think they were reading my articles about her online. Sorry, Katy Perry. Didn't mean to do that. And she took them to court and was like, nah, you're the bitch. I'm buying this house. And the nun who had beef with Katy Perry freaking died. She died during the court hearing. Because she's a witch, right? Don't doubt the power of Katy Perry. So, yeah, anyway. So, Zach Bagans, he sold this. I read it on TMZ. Here he said, he says he started to feel those tragic events. He started to feel those tragic events should rest and ultimately canceled the project out of respect for the LaBianca family. I guess he had a project going there to hunt ghosts or whatever. But you know, Zach Bagans, I've been following them since episode one dropped many, many years ago. I think they're on the 23rd season, though. And he's being affected more and more by the ghosts, by the spirits. Now, is he hamming it up for the camera? Maybe. I don't think so, though. I mean, these guys put themselves in a pretty dangerous, compromised positions, if you ask me. I don't think he's hamming it up. Because I do believe that there's issues with this. That's why I don't mess with that stuff. And this guy's been opening up a lot of doors, channeling a lot of things, asking for a lot of spirits. So, I mean, there's for sure spirits connected to him. Zootopia, I posted that analysis. Did you enjoy it? Yes or no? Well, I forgot. I didn't forget. Well, yeah, I did forget. Ken Amy, true freethinker. Been a guest on the show and stuff in the past. I posted the article and then he said, hey, you remember this? I guess back in July of, I don't know, 2019? He posted an image and tagged me on it of Zootopia's movie poster. And on the light pole, you can see that same Baphomet image that I pointed out on the show, on the movie. Isn't that curious? I retweeted it and all that. I put it on Instagram if you didn't see it. Yeah, it didn't register because I hadn't seen the film and I didn't know intentions of seeing it at the time. Then also, there was an image someone shared with me of what appears to be an oral conolingus sort of scene in the movie. I looked that up because I knew exactly the scene. I just watched it. I went right to that scene. It's fake news. That was photoshopped. It wasn't real. So don't believe that if you see it online. Brittany. It's Brittany, bitch. She lost her conservatorship battle. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? I'm going to read to you from the BBC. What does BBC stand for? Don't Google that. Is it British Broadcasting? Something? Anyway. It says, Jamie Spears has been his daughter's legal guardian for 12 years due to concerns about her mental health. Miss Spears' lawyer said the pop star was afraid of him and that she would not perform so long as he remained in the role. Her father's lawyer argued that he always acted in the best interest of the daughter. A judge said she would consider future appeals for dismissal or outright removal. In the meantime, at the request of Miss Spears, financial company Bessemer Trust has been appointed as a co-conservator. During hearing on Tuesday, Miss Spears' lawyer Samuel Ingham said she and her father have no viable working relationship and have not spoken in a long while. So here you got this woman who's capable of performing on stage and dancing and singing and making millions of dollars. And they're claiming she's so mentally unstable that her father needs to manage her money. I don't like it. I don't like the look of it. I think there's a lot of money involved here. I mean, there's crazy people everywhere. But who knows? I've heard that she was blowing money like Michael Jackson. So maybe that would be what would happen to her funds. But guess what? It's her money, Dad. If she wants to be crazy with her money, well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. What's the right answer here? Is she that crazy? Her little dance videos on Instagram are really weird. I don't think she's that crazy, though, honestly. I think something stinks with this whole thing. And we're going to find out someday what happened to Britney Spears. I don't know why she doesn't just write a book about this or something. Who knows? Joe Rogan, he's been on a tear. As you know, he went to Spotify for the free speech. Which I appreciate. That's nice of him. Because he, you know what? He's tired of it too. He told YouTube to stick it. He's like, I'm going to Spotify. You can suck it. So now you got to get that Spotify membership going. But Joe Rogan, he had Alex Jones on as promised. He said he would do it once he got it over on the free speech platform. And, you know, all kinds of cancel culture snowflakes are so upset. My God, why can he do this? Well, guess what? I have two brain cells in my head I can rub together. And if I want to believe Alex Jones or not, that's up to me to decide. Not a bunch of snowflakes out there. And I didn't take notes on that one. I just enjoyed it for what it was worth. he said some crazy stuff. I don't know. I was going to look into it. He's trying to say carbon dioxide is going to, you know, fossil fuels are good for the world. I don't know if I believe that, but, you know, I'll look into it. I was going to take another critical look because I've always been on the side of believing in man-made climate change. Because ultimately I felt like, well, even if it's not as scary as the scientists are trying to make it sound, it can't be good for the planet, right? And then here comes Alex Jones saying, nope, it is good for the planet. Is he right? I don't know. A lot of the stuff, it's like, God, you almost have to be a climate change scientist to understand what they're saying. So, you know, I'm still in the camp of, like, trying to be more environmentally friendly. Reusables and all that stuff. Although, you know what tipped my little scale? Michael Moore, who's a big old bleeding heart liberal, he makes great documentaries. He made he produced a documentary about the industry that is trying to replace fossil fuels, like solar and all that stuff. And it turns out like those are pretty nasty too, and that is all a farce. So who knows, right? Who knows? Maybe there's no right answer. Population. They want to keep the population down. Maybe that's the only answer. But then you got all the truthers that are like, oh, this is eugenics. The planet's fine. There's plenty of room to spread out. Well, there's room to spread out. I believe that. Do we have the resources for everyone to have 8 kids? I don't know. I'd have to dig into that. Like, my background information that I've seen over the years tells me that, no, this isn't sustainable. That's why they're coming up with fake meats. Because you can't possibly have enough animal meat to feed, like, you know, quality treated animal meat that's not factory farmed to feed the whole world. There's too many kids. Alex Jones had Kanye West on as well. If you recall, I don't know if you do recall, that happened right before the election too. I'll briefly break it down for you. I mean, there's a lot on here. I don't know if this is going to be brief. I'll try to be brief. Because Kanye's just so hard. He's a tough guy to get through sometimes. I think Obama was right. He's a jackass, ultimately. But, you know, and you try to watch this show, and it's like, homeboy can't wrap up a point at all. He's the worst interviewee on the entire planet. On top of being a narcissistic jackass, because he has no perception of other people and literally thinks God is talking to him. Literally thinks God is talking to him. And this is what these people think when they get up there high enough. They think, well, I've been blessed with all this money and fame. Like, I'm treated like a god. I must have a special place in God's mind. And he thinks God's like, hey, Kanye, I want you to be the leader of the free world. I'd love to know what Ray J thinks of all this. It's his fault all this happened. But yeah, Kanye's problem is that he never stops, which makes it sound like senseless rants. I mean, he says some good things here and there, but he speaks kind of like a cult leader like Manson, like he speaks in philosophy. But man, if he would let them breathe just a little bit, like he might be believable, but he just comes off sounding nuts. Kanye West said that he had to get a shot in his hand because he text messages so much. Apparently that's a thing. Talks about all the celebrities getting killed. Now he needs to innovate contracts. What's he implying here? Is he implying that the music, the contracts are killing artists? What's he saying? It's hard to know because the guy rants too much to understand a damn word that's coming out of his mouth. talks about the poor versus the rich and the Titanic and the fall of Rome. He talks a little bit about Ray Kurzweil, who always shows up on our radar for the transhuman singularity stuff. The real winner here, though, if you go to the YouTube version, the comments are priceless. I mean, because YouTube is a cesspool, but they really shine here on this one. They said, I pulled a couple for you, save you some time. Said, very humble of Kanye to invite Joe Rogan to his podcast because he won't shut up. You know what I'm saying? Money isn't real, so we should all be free. That's what Kanye said. Then the guy wrote, me, give this man the launch codes. That's pretty funny. And he said, quote, I don't want to go down these rabbit holes, bruh. Because Kanye says, I don't want to go down these rabbit holes. And he lived in the rabbit holes the whole episode. Money isn't, quote, money isn't real, so the world should be essentially free. And then they wrote, Yeezy's average price, $300, LOL. That's true. Here's the best one here by a user named Jopo. This one says, this podcast was the timestamps guy's personal Vietnam. Because there's a guy who, there's a timestamp guy who goes through all the episodes and like he'll drop the timestamp at which a certain topic is addressed. And yeah, I imagine that was quite the task. Some more notes that I have. Joe Rogan asks him, he says, why do people think there's something wrong with you? And asks why he got put away. Remember that back at the St. Pablo rant when he went away for his little MKUltra treatment? Because he's kind of right. Kanye's kind of right. He's on some other level. And I don't know if, you know, and that's what Kanye's kind of saying. He didn't really, he skirts the answer quite a bit. He explains it in some different ways, so you don't get a clear answer, which is why, like, this was, like, a garbage episode to listen to. And, like, I don't know, is Kanye, like, a struggling artist, or is he a narcissistic sociopath? I don't know. I just know My Dark Twisted Fantasy was his best album, and since then, they haven't been that good. They're fine. Like, he's good. He's a great artist, but he ain't that good. I mean, come on. Is he? Maybe he is. He's got a lot of good tracks. Joe Rogan tries reining it in a little bit, about an hour into this thing. And then Kanye's like, he had a higher power keeping his mind straight, but then he became exhausted and they medicated him. That's what he says. And the medication blocked the channeling of what God wanted him to do. See? Okay? And at one point, he's talking about toothpaste with the fluoride in it blocking the pineal gland. And if you watch the video, I'll try to cut. Let me make a note here. I'll try to take a photo of him, put it on the Instagram or whatever, wherever you guys want to look at it, on the Patreon and stuff. Joe Rogan flashes a priceless smile because he knows, right? He knows that was gold. I don't know if anyone caught that, but classic moment. Then they're still talking about the stuff, and Kanye dodges the specific question of what medication he was on. He admits to being bipolar. He was medicated for saying that slavery is a choice, and Joe Rogan clarifies what he truly meant, because Joe Rogan thinks there's seeds of truth in what Kanye says, which I agree with. I think that there's some good ideas up in that crazy head of his. Joe Rogan tries to clarify what he meant. He's saying that modern-day slavery is a choice, which is a good thought, right? Like, being a slave to debt, like, that's a choice. Being a slave to the man, that's a choice. I mean, they stack the cards pretty heavy, but, like, you got to get rid of that victim mentality a little bit. That's all he's trying to say. Now, is that what Kanye meant? I don't know. I mean, Kanye seemed to go with it because he was probably like, yeah, Joe, that's what I meant. That's it. Here's where Kanye's wrong. He thinks that Silicon Valley is somehow better than Hollywood. He has all this adoration for the big tech folks, Elon Musk, Steve Jobs. And this is his Achilles heel. Because throughout the whole interview, he's constantly blowing MIT engineers like they know the whole truth. And like, they're intelligent people. They know one truth. Kind of like, I don't want an engineer making my rap music. Same way I don't want Kanye West making my iPhone. You know what I mean? These scientists, these engineers, they know one truth, and that's science, and that is it. And half of these guys are on the spectrum, which I'm not talking trash about people on the spectrum. I'm just saying that they're not, their focus is very limited on what they do know. They're like, what do you call it? Idiot savants a little bit. They're kind of like one trick ponies. They're not the Renaissance men that we need, or women. Don't want to assume genders. The Renaissance humans that we need to look for the answers. We need well-rounded people. We need people like Joe Rogan. It's about as close as a Renaissance man as you can get. I know, that's a controversial statement. A lot of people hate Joe Rogan. I think he's great. I think his problem is that he implies he knows more than he really does. And that's dangerous territory sometimes. Because sometimes he says stuff that isn't true. And he's very convinced that it is. Case in point, when he was talking about ancient aliens, he was referring to some of those paintings that you see, like on the show back in the first season. They used to talk about how, oh, these paintings, they showed aliens and UFOs up in the sky. And Joe Rogan bought into it. I don't remember which episode. He believed it. And I've already seen the debunk. It's not true. Like, they were references to the, you know, God coming through the sky. But you know what I'm saying. Joe Rogan's, he's about as good as you're going to get. Without being too limited in scope, too stovepiped, as it were. Like Elon Musk, he's probably a very intelligent guy. I don't look to him to answer all my questions, though, about spirituality and life and all that. And that's okay. Like, I'm not talking bad about these people. I'm just saying, like, Kanye's a little too devoted into saying that the engineers are going to save us. And I, you know my stance on that. You know what they're going to do. They're going to kill us. Kanye West says that Planned Parenthood started a eugenics movement. That's like conspiracy 101, right?
People saw this clip of me crying. Some people didn't know what I was crying about. But I was crying about that there was a possible chance. Yeah, I'm looking at a way to say this.
I know what you're going to say.
That there was a chance that, you know, that we didn't make, that Kim and I didn't make the family we have today. That's my most family friendly, you know, way to word that. And just the idea of it just tears me up inside that I was a part of a culture that promotes this kind of thing. Like, one of the major statistics on the subject of life is that the greatest advocates for the A word are men from ages 31 to 37. And that's how old I was. And I felt like I was too busy. My dad felt like he was too busy for me. And we have a culture of that. And they have child rebel soldiers that were in Africa that would be doped up and psyched out and made to kill their parents. Well, in our culture, we're doped up and psyched out and made to kill our children. You know, we have to decouple the conversation of Planned Parenthood and woman's choice. Now, so of course, I'm Christian, so I'm pro-life. And when I go into office, I'm not changing laws because I realize we live in an imperfect world and an imperfect society. What I will be presenting is a Plan A. And we've already started to work on Plan A to change the connotation of orphanages, to change the connotation of foster care. And not just change the connotation, you know, verbally, but to create places that are to the level of like the Amon Geary and Dizzy World had a kid. You know, what is this like? And we have so much land that this can be created and then spread across the world to orphanages in Africa and in China and just across the globe to create these environments that when there's expecting families, moms and fathers, that they feel like there's a place, even if they don't feel well off enough to bring another life into this world, that there's a place to go. There's a plan A. Because plan B and Planned Parenthood were planned by a eugenics that set out and said out loud, I'm doing this to kill the black race and to create population control. You know, if we...
Wait a minute. What are you saying? Plan B, meaning the pill, meaning the morning after pill.
You know what? Let me...
And Planned Parenthood.
Let me decouple those things. Let me talk about Planned Parenthood.
Okay.
There's... The last figure I saw is there were 210,000 deaths due to COVID in America. And everywhere you go, you see someone with a mask on. With the A word, culture, I'll say it one time, with abortion culture, there are 1,000 black children aborted a day, daily. We are in genocide. So more black children have died in the past since February than people have died of COVID, and everyone wears a mask. So it's a matter of where are we turning a blind eye to? Like, the media can control a lot of times, or has control what we care about. I even heard somebody say at one point, this is the actual sentence I heard someone say, Puerto Rico so played out. Meaning there was a time where people were caring about it, and now the media says don't care about it, but these people, it still hasn't been solved. The hurricanes still have hit, the earthquakes still hit, and people are still suffering from that, and no one has really gone to fix it. And when that $11 billion goes to Haiti and it doesn't get to the people, you know, the Daily Mail posts a swimsuit pic or something and deters our energy to what we have to do collectively to help our brothers and sisters. You know, I
there's a lot of back and forth on this as to whether or not that's true. I've researched it a little bit here and there, and I've never found the actual links. Like, I'm not doubting that there's some truth to that, but the problem is the origins of that are. Supposedly, Dr. Richard Day had these lectures he gave, and he told everyone, like, hey, turn off your tape recorders. You can't take any of this with you. Very suspect. So all we got was the notes from someone who came from this meeting where Richard Day was talking about this. There's some links to that. I haven't read it yet. There's some ideas that Richard Day implied this in some of his articles and stuff. It's just something I haven't dug into deep enough. But the idea that, oh, someone wrote notes up from the thing and they went online one day, like, I don't know. That seems a little suspect. But his reply to Joe Rogan, when they were talking about abortion culture, he said, like, 1,000 black children are aborted every day. He says, that's a genocide out there. He said, more black kids died from abortion than COVID, yet we wear the masks. And, you know, media controls what we care about. Media tells you what to care about. And he's right on some levels, right? I don't disagree with that. That's about an hour into the show, if you're looking for that. Then Kanye talks about George Lucas. I got a lot of notes on here. I'll try to wrap this up. Kanye talks about George Lucas's Star Wars prequels. Showing us the hero's journey, right? Which is what I talked about in my book, The Star Wars Conspiracy. And I agree with Kanye. He says that the prequels were the best ones. I agree. They're the more quality films. And when you watch them all in a row, it becomes clear that those were the best ones. Because the originals, the, you know, episode 4, 5, 6 from the 70s and 80s, as classic as they are, as nostalgic as they are, the storyline is a little, it's a little too much action. Not enough story. And he talks about getting rid of laces out of shoes, which I love that idea. I hate laces. Compares it to Steve Jobs removing the buttons from the iPhone. He says people aren't ready for it. I'm ready for it. I'm ready for them laces to come out. And here's what I don't like. I'll get the photo for this too. Kanye and Joe Rogan, so woke, right? So woke. Yet there's 5 plastic bottles of water on the table. Kanye wants to save the whole world. Meanwhile, drink a water from plastic bottles. Maybe instead of redesigning the wheel and talking about farming food inside your home and sustainable scallop farms and churches and drink the water from the glass. It's very innovative. Prevent a ton of waste because this plastic doesn't biodegrade. It ends up all in the stomachs of the animals and the wildlife and out in the ocean. They got a big old plastic island forming from all this garbage. You know? OG granola woke. Now, and this is typical nerd stuff. These guys are going to build this utopia. Everything's going to be perfect. Yet they can't figure out how to drink water from a glass. They got to drink from plastic bottles. That irritates me. I don't like that at all. He says that, let's see. Talks about parenthood. Says fathers have a dichotomy of liking to see their sons succeed. But the problem with that is it also reminds them of their failures. Actually, pretty good thought. It's a pretty good thought, is it not? Then now we're going to, and he goes on and on. I'm losing interest quick, right? We're halfway through the interview. Now we're at about, we're about 2 hours and 24 minutes. We all agree that Bernie was the perfect antithesis to Trump, right? That's what he's talking about. He says, we all agree that Bernie couldn't have been controlled. I agree with that. Kanye says that he was the superhero and they had to kick him out too. Like, okay. He says his ideas are scary to capitalism. And then he starts talking about how he created the birthday party, which is like a fun little play on words, but not too serious, right? I don't know. The birthday party, of course, one of your 3 satanic holidays. And then let's see how much more I got. Okay, 2 more points and then we're done. Jeez. About 2 hours and 30 minutes in, Joe Rogan proves to us why he's the best. Out of all these dumb debates, they never focused on healthcare and education. Because both are only set up for the middle and upper class. The poor people can't afford to get sick. They can't afford to go to college. And that's what they're talking about, and I agree with that. And then Kanye talks about preventative measures being more important for healthcare, which I agree with. But then, I mean, just that quick, he's floating off into, you know, fantasy Starbucks out in the sky. And I don't know. He pulls it back together with some decent thoughts on combining science with God, holistic and Western medicines. Then he starts blowing MIT again, defying his previous comment on thinking holistically. And oh, my God, get me out of here. Right. So in conclusion, to put a bow on this Joe Rogan Kanye episode. Rowan's long-form content is great. He's got these 3-hour interviews. You have time to get deep into topics without sound bites and cutting people off. And it's great until you get Kanye West on there. This was the hardest episode I've ever had to get through. I was zoned out most of the time. It was terrible. Worst Joe Rogan episode I've ever listened to. And my Kanye dislike levels are higher than ever. You know, I go back and forth with Kanye. Like, sometimes he makes a lot of sense. But I was just like, bro, you lost me with all that. Next, alien news. Let's catch up with alien news. They say they found water on the moon. Right? That's a big deal. Where they find water, they can find life. That's usually the gold standard for finding life is to find the water. They've got radio bursts in the sky that they think are coming from a population, a civilization out there. They've got a new podcast called Are We There Yet? It's all about finding aliens. I haven't listened to it yet. I'm going to, though. Try to stay up on that. They're scientifically trying to prove this slowly and over time. I'm telling you, give it a couple years. The aliens will be here. But here's the problem. I subscribe more to the idea that the aliens are, if they exist, if there's a further evolved civilization out there, they're not in corporeal form. They would be in the digital consciousness, I think. Much like Interstellar, much like Ray Kurzweil talks about with the singularity. You know, for as much as I dislike the idea of the singularity, I think we're going there. Like, I don't think there's any stopping that. But I think that these forms are in another frequency. Chance the Rapper got in on this, and this was curious to me. I'm going to read you from ET's website, ET Canada. As you asked, I compiled the list of... this is from a tweet, sorry. I read the article about this, but it's a tweet. He wrote, "As you asked, I compiled the list of songs I will play for the aliens to get them to understand music and humanity." And then he wrote down 22 Michael Jackson songs. Who's going to tell Chance the Rapper that MJ was a pedophile, maybe? I don't know, maybe we shouldn't represent all of humanity. Another controversial. I get all the smoke talking about Michael Jackson because his fans have drank the Kool-Aid. I don't know that he abused those kids. I think there's good enough evidence to suggest that people were just trying to get his money. But I would argue there's more evidence to suggest that he was, in fact, abusing kids. And you've heard my spiel on this. The whole, I did like a Leaving Neverland episode that was very popular. I mean, the dude built a choo-choo train. He didn't seem to be too interested in women. I would argue he was probably abused as a kid himself, which is what leads people to do this kind of stuff. I mean, I don't fault Michael Jackson for this. I mean, on some levels, I feel bad for him. I feel like he got screwed into this. But and I don't want to cancel his music either. Like, can we just have it both ways? Can we say, yeah, this guy made great music and he was a very abused kid and that messed with his brain? And he had a weird thing for kids then. Had him sleep over in his bed? Like, come on, grown men don't do that. Give me a break with that. These parents, if some guy on the block wanted their 14-year-old boy to sleep in their bed with them, you think they would let that happen? No. They were enamored by the deity that was Michael Jackson. Ozzy Osbourne, he's pushing the ancient aliens. I'm going to read to you from Olean Times Herald. Quote, "Watching a YouTube video with son Jack Osbourne on their new TV show, The Osbournes Want to Believe, he said, the interesting theory behind this is it's pyramid-shaped. What if they built a replica of what the ship looked like out of stone, so they wanted to train everybody about the effing pyramids? It could be the reason why they did it was to say to us, this is what we saw. When this comes back, this is what it'll look like. If you land one of those things, maybe it might be an angle to point for it to come in." The rocker's wife Sharon insisted she doesn't believe in either UFOs or ghosts and thinks it's odd that her son has such a strong conviction that life on other planets exists. She said, "I always say the same thing with UFOs and ghosts. I don't not believe, but I need to see them for myself." Jack has been a believer in UFOs. It's very odd. But the 68-year-old admitted that she and Ozzy encouraged their children to go hunting for the Loch Ness Monster, a sinister creature believed to dwell in Scotland, despite there being no confirmed sightings. She added, "We used to take the kids to Scotland to try and find the Loch Ness Monster when they were little, as they were really into the whole thing. Jack and Ozzy would go out to the loch at night, and they had their torches looking for the monster." Jack added, "No luck, we never found Nessie." Now, not only is this curious because now the Osbournes are pushing ancient alien stuff, ghost hunting and all this stuff. I think Jack actually went out to Skinwalker Ranch, if you recall, on a show recently. But he But to me, it was curious because Loch Ness, that's where Aleister Crowley was chilling, right? At the Bull Skiing House that Jimmy Page bought. So what was Ozzy doing out there? Was it for the same reason? Was he out there trying to channel spirits? Was he doing the black magic? I believe that the Black Sabbath showed up in my book, Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic, or maybe it was The Dark Path, when I talked about the how they were channeling lyrics and stuff. So it's very possible. Finally, the last topic here. Your girl Kesha, she's about to start an occult podcast. And we talked about her at length back in the golden years of blogging. She had the We're Gonna Die Young song that they removed because, yeah, I already told you this, because she said they forced her to sing those lyrics and she was very upset about it. She had lots of symbolism of MK Ultra programming. She said she was abused by one of the producers in the industry. She was collecting, I believe it was fingernails from her fans. And I argued that, oh no, it was teeth. I think it was teeth. Like sympathetic magic, right? Now she's doing a podcast about the occult, confirming that she was into the occult. I warned about this many years ago. I'm going to read to you from Rolling Stone. Kesha is getting her very own podcast, Kesha and the Creepies, premiering November 20th through the iHeart Podcast Network and available on all podcast platforms. The interview format show will feature Kesha chatting with guests about their supernatural experiences, the occult, unexplained mysteries, urban legends, psychedelic art, spirituality, astrology, and more. Alice Cooper will be her first conversation partner, with other guests slated to appear on the first season, including Trippie Redd, Tyler Henry, and Whitney Cummings. I'm existentially pleased and molecularly stoked to be premiering my new podcast, Kesha and the Creepies, she said. I've had so many experiences in this incarnation that I can't ignore. I just can't ignore or explain, and I've always been fascinated by supernatural subjects, the unexplainable, and people exploring alternative thoughts and lifestyles. With my podcast, it's my excuse to shoot the shit with the people I'm most fascinated with and dive deep into their brains and hear about all things creepy. The creepy and unexplainable is what keeps life magic, so let's talk about it. So there you go. Are you going to check it out? I'll check it out. Check out the occult symbols. She's talked about seeing UFOs in the desert and stuff. I mean, she is an occultist, I think. And we'll find out more when her podcast drops. I'll take a listen and see what I think. Share with you the information. So that's it. We're all caught up. We're caught up with the alien news. We're caught up with the celebrities. Caught up with the Britney Spears drama, Joe Rogan, Kanye West. Talked about all the things. I want to thank you for your support. In whatever form that takes. Patreon, Rockfin. Patreon and Rockfin. I don't know. I appreciate your support on all levels. I've got some tier 2 reaction videos I uploaded. One with Billie Eilish. Also, I've got a Tier 3 live stream scheduled for the Tier 3 folks. That is going to be November 19th at 6 p.m. Eastern. So make sure you don't miss it. I'll answer. It's an Ask Me Anything. If you want to get down on that, if you want anything to ask me, talk to me. Otherwise, I'm just going to ramble to you about what's going on in my life, what's behind the scenes of my world. So thank you for your support on all levels. I appreciate you guys. And until next time, my friends, you know what to do. Stay woke.